chapter 7. It's getting a bit colder, huh? So please bundle up. You may not have the fat resources that you normally do during this time. All right, Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not trample your pearls before swine. Or do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree that bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Amen. Well, we're just going to break this down just a little bit, a couple of chunks at a time. And the first one that he addresses, he actually addressed this before at the end of the Lord's Prayer, but he wants to come back again, and he talks about judging. Now, this is something that's a little misunderstood, even in churches these days. And there's nothing wrong with judging, per se, right? I mean, in fact, in the same chapter, Jesus will go on and says, well, you'll know them by their fruit. Well, how are you going to know them by their fruit? Obviously, you have to make a judgment call, right? And recognize, all right, this is fruit, this is not fruit. This is good fruit, this is bad fruit. And so in of itself, there is a level that we will always judge. We're human beings, you know, and as Christians, we'll always judge. We have to judge, you know, in fact, you guys are sitting there and, you know, obviously, hopefully you trust me by now, but, you know, if a guest speaker came or someone else, you'd have to judge if the message was true or not, right? I mean, that's you know, we in spiritual terms, we call that discernment. And so there is a level of judging. The key that Jesus is talking about, and the whole Sermon on the Mount, again, is about the issue of the heart, right? And what Jesus is trying to tell us is, says, you know, be careful when you judge, because when you do that, you open a door, not only for judgment to come upon you, but the key in that is, what he's saying is, you know, you judge others in one standard, but yet you judge yourself in a totally different standard. Right, and this is what we call the religious spirit. What the religious spirit will do in our life, it will judge other people on one standard, but you judge yourself based on your intentions. Right, in other words, you don't give other people the benefit of the doubt, but you always give yourself the benefit of the doubt. You always, you know, veer towards, you know, I didn't really mean to. You know, in fact, I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here, but there are some, you know, brothers and sisters that should have come out this morning, wanted to come out, but they overslept or whatever, you know, and so, and, you know, they, you know, it's, they can, you know, kind of go off and says, oh, well, I intended to get up, and so it's fine. You know, but you come out in the morning sometime, you know, and your brother or sister doesn't come out. And like, oh, I can't believe you didn't come out that morning, you know. And we judge them by their actions, right? And so you judge others by their actions, you judge yourself by your intentions. You know, that's the religious spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't do stuff like that. You know, the key is in verse 5, you hypocrite, right? Take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Right? You know, don't judge others in one standard and yet judge yourself in a totally different standard. Right? That there'll be some kind of consistency in this whole thing. Right? And so it's a hard. I think I preached on this a little while ago and stuff, so I don't need to get more into this. And then he tells us, right, and he continues on the discourse on prayer. And he says, this is why, and in fact, this little part here is we can just like title it the encouragement to pray. This is why we can pray. Right? Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. You know, and the word here, in the way that it's put together in Greek, is what we call a present tense imperative. You know, what a present tense imperative means, it's a command, but it's an ongoing, continuous command. Right? And so, actually, better translated, and if you have a little pen, you can mark this in your Bible. Don't trust me. I do it all the time, right? I try to get to a little better translation of these things, and the probably better translation is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and it'll be open to you, right? And so this is something that we continually do, and we do it until something happens, right? And so we're praying for things, and we keep doing it, you know, until God opens the door, until God, you know, gives it to us, you know, until God allows us to find these things. So you keep asking, keep seeking, you keep knocking. And why do you do that? Right? What's the real encouragement to prayer? Not only if you continue to do that, it'll come, but also we have a loving Heavenly Father. Right? And again, right, Jesus spends most of this discourse talking about contrast. Right? He says, look, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Right? I mean, look, think about it. You're evil, and yet you know how to give good gifts to your children. I'm evil, right? And I know how to give good gifts to my daughter. Right? And he said, and the key is, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those who ask Him? Right? This is a very common phrase that Jesus uses all throughout the Bible, right? Through the Gospels, right? How much more, you know, or in compared to, right? You'll find it all through the parables as He teaches. How much more will your Father in heaven, who loves you, give to His children to ask Him? Right? If you are evil and you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father, right, give good gifts to his children? You know, and so, and verse 12 is, you know, even in outside of church circles, it's the golden rule, right? It's right here, right? However you want people to treat you, you treat them, right? This, you know, I mean, people that have never stepped foot in the church understand this golden rule, you know, and it comes out right out of the scriptures. You know, and then he continues on, and now he's contrasting, you know, different ways of how we live our lives. And then he contrasts the different fruit. What makes the fruit good, right? It's the heart that's good. What makes the fruit bad? It's the heart that's bad, right? It goes back to the source there, you know. And then he continues on, and he talks about two different foundations, you know. And we need to understand, right, that basically life, right, are the choices that we make, you know, and Jesus is making it very clear to us that that's what life is about. You know, you can choose the narrow gate or you can choose the broad gate. You can choose the road that leads to destruction or you can choose the road that leads to life, you know, and you know, for some mysterious reason, this is our toil in our life, is that we get to make all these choices. Right, this is what we call free will, and you know, and all these kinds of things, and so there's, you know, ways that we live, right, that will lead to life. There's ways that we live that will lead to death, you know, or they'll lead to destruction, you know. And the key in that, right, the real key is not necessarily that you just make this choice up and, oh, I'm just going to choose, right? The key is it's the person that hears and then does. Right, that's, you know, I mean, if you look throughout this text, you know, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Right, in other words, you don't just hear it, but you do it. Right? And then he says again, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Right? Not you hear it, and then you act upon it. Right? There is, it's that duality that comes together. You know. And then again, he clarifies verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Right? The contrasting of two foundations, either the rock, you know, that weathers all the storms of our life and all these things, and it will stand. You know, and incidentally, the rock is a very figurative language, especially in the New Testament, Old Testament as well, right? And it represents Jesus Christ, right? Jesus, you know, turned to Peter, just as you are, you know, Petros, and upon my rock, Petra, I will build my church. And of course, he was talking about himself, right? You know, 2 Peter and then the prophets of old, it says, you know, the very stone that they rejected became the chief cornerstone. And we see rock, stone, boulder, all these things represent Christ, right? He is our rock, our foundation. And so you want to build a life on him, right? The foundation is Christ. Not only do you hear, but you do. Right, there's that duality of that action. Right, that's really it's not that the contrast is really not that big. It's not that someone just I have to do this and this and this to choose this way or that. No, you simply when you hear, you just obey, right? You just obey. That's a disciple, right? A servant is someone that hears a master and does the master's will, right? You just simply hears the word and obey. That's the only difference in this whole thing. Out of all the choices that we've made, when you hear it, you do it. Right, it's just very, very simple, and this is the foundation, right? This is the way, this is the fruit that's contrasted, right? It's simply Jesus saying, you can't necessarily go through life and just listening to people and just leave it at that. There must be at some point, there must be some action, right? There must be some movement on our part that we obey, right? What we sense Him asking us to do. You know, and when we think in a Christian life in terms of those ways, it's actually very simple. You know, it's not as difficult. I mean, in one sense, there is difficulty because you're going to have to make that choice. But there is a simplicity there. You hear what he says, and then you just do it. Right? I mean, you know, there's nothing really confusing about that. I think the confusing part is we don't really hear that well. Right? And we'll touch that on a different time. Right? So let's close our eyes. You know, in the simple word today, are you obeying what you are hearing? Maybe God is challenging some of you to this or that. Are you obeying Him in that? Remember, we talked about on Sunday, when He asks you to do something, you know, when He challenges you in something, He brings along the ability to perform it. Then it gets a little easier, right? Not only does he just doesn't tell us something that's going to be impossible that we can't do. Well, yeah, we can't do it ourselves, but when we trust in him and lean upon him, we can do it through him because he's going to give us the power to do it. And so are we walking in obedience? Are we choosing the road that leads to life? Are we making our decisions that lead us to destruction? Right. He who does the will of my Father. Let's just spend a little time and seek the Lord and ask God, am I doing your will? And then move forward and move on. Don't dwell upon the past. Ask God to forgive you if that's the case and move on. And say, Lord, I'm your servant. Here I am, ready to do your will. Ask of me. So let's go before the Lord. Bless you, God. Same way, let's pray for ourselves. I know this is very broad, but let's pray for spiritual breakthroughs in our life in 2007. You know, you need to know what you need to break through in your life, and let's ask God to just crush that ceiling, that glass ceiling that's upon us, and just really break through in the Spirit. So let's just cover ourselves right now. And then for church, let's pray for our welcoming team, our group. Let's pray that the group and I mean, as a whole church together, we would just love people that come through these doors. And that God would just really give us strategies as we plan to launch new things this year. Pray for the leaders, Angela and Charles, as they lead this ministry. And pray that other people would really come on board and the people that are ushering and these things. And they would really do it with a real sense of love. And, you know, every person that comes in this place that are new, you know, God brought them here, you know, and there could be real deep reasons why that they're here. And let's not give them any excuse, you know, for them not to come back or anything. And not for our church to grow. I mean, God's going to cause the growth, you know, but just so that people could be ministered to, you know, that their needs could be met, especially their spiritual needs. And so let's cover our welcoming team and ask God to really bless them. Father, we thank you. Let's pray for our missions. Let's pray for North Korea specifically. Let's pray for the country and the people. And I'll be going there in April, beginning of April. And so let's ask for God's protection. I'm going with a group of doctors, and we're trying to figure out as we start a clinic together. And so let's pray for God to really save the people. And, you know, in the midst of all that's going on, this is the probably the biggest political hotbed in all of Asia right now. In fact, probably all of the world compared to Iran. And so let's just really cover the country and ask God to just have his way. You know, some of you guys don't know, Pyongyang, which is the capital, used to be called the Jerusalem of Asia, right? And this was the place of the great, great Korean revivals. And so there's a seed that's there. And so we're just asking God to water that seed and let the kingdom come, you know, in this one place that was flourishing with Christianity and spirituality. So let's just cover North Korea. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for our brother Jimmy. Let's pray that his father would be saved this year. Let's really ask God to release that word of salvation over him. Let's also pray that he would step up in his role at church and take action when the Lord calls him. Pray for his brother Jay and his sister-in-law Seong to find their significant others from the Lord this year. Also pray for an uncle who's very ill with some kind of Parkinson-like disease. Pray for a miracle and also just cover the family and just comfort this family during this difficult time. Also pray that he would continue to be a loving husband and a strong leader of the household and to support Boyoung's new career. Also for continued guidance, and he would totally hand over his career and work to be able to reach and exceed large targets set in 2007. Also to give him wisdom and guidance in building up and leading a new team and to reach new highs. And he will continue to be a witness at work and to secular friends and to always, not just when it suits him, to be an example of how to live in Christ. So let's just cover Jimmy. Let's pray for our sister, Soin. Let's pray just for the salvation of her dad and also pray for her future spouse. I know she's getting a lot of pressure from her mom. Pray for a clear direction for her life in 2007 in terms of career, relationships, etc. And also pray for her grandmother who's suffering from dementia. Let's just cover her. Way. Let's pray for our brother Eddie. Let's pray that he would continue to grow and he just be educated as a Christian. Help him to stay the course towards self-improvement and with a strong relationship with God. Also pray for guidance and wisdom in his career and in relationships. Help him to realize his personal goals that he's set aside and help him to put certain fears and old habits aside to enable him to take on the new challenges ahead regardless of where they take him. Also pray for the health of his family and friends, and especially his parents as they're growing older in age. Pray for their salvation so they can all grow in a relationship with God. Pray for their sister, his sister and brother to find their spouses this year, and also for Eddie as well. And also just give pray that Eddie would be able to really thank the Lord for all the blessings that, that the Lord has already been giving him. So they really have a thankful heart. So let's cover Eddie. Let's just pray for a few members that are sick. I know Tom is sick this morning. He couldn't make it. And Rachel is sick. She has a tonsillitis. And also is Bonnie. She has a flu. Is there anyone else that's sick? You're sick? Anyone else? Wow, John's sick. Okay, let's just cover everyone and ask God to really touch. Father, we thank you for your care and your love over our lives, God. And Lord, I pray that we would choose, God, your way. God, when we're confronted with two different choices, God, that we'd always choose your way and your path, Lord. And we would just simply, God, just obey what you ask us to do, Father. That's all you really want from us, Lord. Just simply obey, God, and be in partnership with you. And so just help us, God. Lord, today we just bind our will to your will, God, this day, and we ask us to use us, Lord, and bless our friends, God, especially the ones that are sick right now. Lord, just minister to them, God, and we just speak that word of health, and we cancel that sickness in Jesus' name, and we thank you, we bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.